Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the Universe Podcast. Small applause. Woo! I'm your host Leo, here with my co-host Charlotte.
Hi.
And our guest Ricarda.
Hi.
Hello. It's your first time here on the podcast, so I'd ask you to introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yes, it's my first time. Hi, I'm Ricarda. I mostly write poems, so we're going to talk about poems, I guess.
Yes, nice. Love talking about poems. It's very nice to have you here. So, how did you come to writing?
I think I started writing when I was very little.
How little is very little?
Well, as soon as I could write. Because I didn't get pocket money as a child, mm-hmm. and I still wanted to gift my parents something special on their birthday or Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to write poems and short stories for them. So, yeah.
That's very nice.
And how did you find the universe?
Because in my memory, you just walked in one evening. I mean, we all just walked in one evening. But
yeah.
When I started studying English last autumn, someone did like an introduction session and introduced us to various societies, such as the universe.
So the advertising does work.
Yes,
it does. It's good to hear.
And I thought, well, it's about writing. I write. Why not? So, yeah.
How was your first impression?
I was so scared. I'm such a nervous kid. I don't like meeting new people. So walking in a room full of new people who all already knew each other was very scary. Mm-hmm. And it was also late because I had a Latin course before. I was scared, but it was nice.
I probably have told this story on the podcast before, but I'd been wanting to go to universe for ages, but I didn't dare go alone.
Same.
And then Philip was like, Leo, do you want to go there together?
Cool.
Because he'd met the people on campus at mm-hmm. the universe picnic last year.
Aww.
And then we went there together and it was very nice.
Oh, that's cute.
Yes.
I remember my first time, because it was the very first meeting that took place, and I remember being at home, talking to my boyfriend and asking him, should I go or should I not go? I'm really nervous. I really want to go, but I'm really scared. And then he said, just go. And I was like, okay. And then I went, and I've never regretted it.
Sounds like something he would say. I can't imagine that in his voice.
Just go. So I guess when you started out writing, you wrote in German for your parents, right?
Yes.
And when did you start writing in English, and why did you start doing that?
If I remember correctly, I was 12 or 13 years old, and I just did it because I wanted to. I wanted to try, and it was a really bad poem about a guy I liked at that time and his blue eyes. So edgy.
Do you still have it?
Yes, I have it. I still have it.
How bad is it reading it?
Very bad. It's embarrassing. And I gave it to my teacher, my English teacher, Ooh. To correct it. Mm-hmm. And she was very proud of me. And so I decided, you know what? Gonna ditch German and just write in English.
That's wow. really, really brave, though, yeah. that you gave the poem to your teacher. And at 13 totally, or 14, totally, I would never have done that.
I was much braver back then.
So you haven't written anything in German ever since then?
Not really. Don't think so.
Okay, that's interesting. Cool.
And you say, you're a poem writer, poet, as we call them. Why is the reason? Have you ever tried prose?
I did try it at some point in German. I wrote a few short stories. I think I started 2 novels. But I don't know, just too much work. a poem is done. A novel and prose, you always have to come back to it and write more and think about the storyline and the characters, and too much work.
That's very relatable. May I ask what the novels were about that you started?
Oh, God. One was about a girl who suddenly grew wings. Yeah, that's basically it. And I think she had to fight, like, a dog. But, like, a really bad dog. I was tiny back then when I wrote that.
Okay.
One was about... I think about a little boy who lived in a world where there were no colors. Or, well, there were colors, but the colors were stolen by the big companies and used as money. And yeah.
That's a really great story, though.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I can totally see that being a sci-fi novel that gets turned into a film.
Yes. I was kind of proud of that one, but yeah, I'm not diligent enough to write all of it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It is a lot of work. Also, imagining all of the characters. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But that's why we have the universe and our writing sessions, where one can come and write on their novels, like... I'm hopefully going to do, because this is the only time when I ever get to continuing. Well,
I was going to announce it that it's this Saturday, but since the podcast is going to come out on next Friday, that's no use.
Oh, yeah, true.
So do you think you're ever going to try it? Maybe when you're very bored?
I've been very bored before and haven't started writing it. But maybe when I'm 80 and have nothing else to do in my life anymore, maybe. But
okay.
Do you, that's like a question that I just thought of. Do you write into a notebook? It's like, do you have a notebook with you, that you carry with you all the time? Do you write on a computer? Do you write on a typewriter?
I actually... Most of the time I write on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, when the ideas hit me, I take out my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a notebook where I sometimes write down ideas or even full poems, but I don't take it with me.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a bit self-conscious about writing in public. So.
Yeah, it is difficult.
That's interesting, really. Why do you find that difficult?
I don't know. The writing session was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It did take some time to get used to. But, like, I don't know, usually... I don't know, my journal is also, like, it's like a journal. It's got poems and it's got, like, other writings. And it's, you know, I guess when you're just used to writing on your own.
But, I mean, nobody... gets to see what you write. It's just you and your computer. You and
do
your
they though? Paper. Can they not just look over my shoulder and be like,
oh, well, yes, you would totally notice that, and then you could just close the book or the computer and tell them to
fuck
back
off.
Yes. So I don't think that's a real threat. I think it's in your head.
Yes, I mean, probably. Most threats are in my head, but that doesn't make them less threatening to me.
And less real, like Dumbledore said, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. True. He was so wise, which brings us to your poem, I guess.
There was one more question that's a bit unrelated, but very, very nice transition.
Thanks.
We're getting good at this.
Yeah, that's a question that I've asked myself a lot recently, so I thought I would ask you, because I'm curious what you say. Also, you, of course, Leo, please also throw in your thoughts if you want to. I was wondering if you think... that writers should be political in their work or not?
I don't think writers have to be political.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that if you write about certain things, you can't help but be political. But like my poem, I don't think it's very political. It wasn't intended to be political.
Of course, yeah.
I did want it to be political. So I guess it shouldn't be necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice when it is and when it fits.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I'm just sometimes asking myself if we as writers have a responsibility to speak out about current events that happen or about the state of the world and stuff like that, because, I mean, a lot of writers have done that in the past. I think Thomas Mann, back during the Nazi period, he was really anti-Nazi and he really...
Surprise, surprise.
He really said that publicly, and he was not scared that anything would happen to him. And I admire that a lot.
Yeah. I think if it's something you want to do as a writer, mm-hmm. to speak out about something that maybe you have close relation to or affects you in a greater way, I mean, sure, speak out about it, but I think you shouldn't feel obliged to do so.
Totally. It should not become a dogmatic thing.
Yeah.
Of course not. Yeah.
You because have
then,
to.
Because then it's like bad again.
Mm.
Cool. Thanks for that answer.
Okay. I think we've reached the part of the episode where we usually have the reading of the poem.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have it printed out with you?
Yes.
Okay, great. Very well prepared.
I know, I printed it out last second. So.
It's called Wisdom Teeth.
Yes. My baby teeth have barely broken through the gums. I'm still chewing on things to ease the itch. A pacifier, a thumb, everything that comes into the reach of my tiny hands. The first tooth gets pulled no sooner than when all teeth were finally there, gets put into a box that it'll soon share when the rest start to follow. Got told the holes will soon be occupied by a different kind of teeth that are slumbering inside, the kind that will unsheath with bloodied underwear an adult in despair. 10 years later, and I thought it was done. No teething toys or training wheels or pacifiers. And still no more an adult than before. When again, teeth started growing at the back of my mouth. An aching and breaking, reminiscent of carefree times. Those unloved teeth pushed and shoved, demanding space where none was left. They promised wisdom, but my mouth already felt numb. And I let them join my baby teeth.
Thank you.
Ooh.
Yay.
Thank you very much. I don't think we've had a poem about teeth yet.
No, I don't think so either. Certainly not. Really cool topic.
Yes, Thank you. I like poems about unusual topics.
And also, I think it is a very captivating experience in every person's life when they get teeth first and then lose them and then get new ones and then... Yeah, wisdom teeth come back out. So I think it's really nice that there's a poem about these experiences.
Thank you. I had problems with my wisdom teeth, so that's why I wrote about it.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you had them removed?
Not yet.
Okay.
Hopefully soon.
Okay.
Is there a tooth fairy in your poem? I'm not quite sure about that, because I thought that was one thing that might have been missing, if you want to call it that.
I did not think about that.
Did your parents tell you, or did they do the tooth fairy thing?
I mean, it is a thing it for some thing, children. Yeah.
Yes, but it wasn't for me.
I just remember that I put, once or twice, I put a tooth under my pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And next morning it was gone. I didn't get a gift or anything or a present. Because my parents were very anti-chocolatey. They never gave us any sweets. Which was good, obviously, but back then I really didn't like them for that. That was something that I thought could have been in there, but wasn't so.
Did not think about that.
Well, you don't have to, it's fine.
Did you have a tooth fairy?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I must have forgotten about her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, tooth fairy.
And do you know that creepy moment when you look for something and you find, like, that weird small box, then you open it and you find your teeth
from
10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Also, disgusting.
The feeling of losing your teeth is so weird.
Yeah, when they wiggle, when you
I remember eating a Nutella bread once and just biting into it and then, you know, going away and the tooth was stuck in the bread.
I remember that I wanted them to finally go out and then I just turned them around. They did. I know, that's really disgusting.
That's really disgusting.
But now I find it disgusting and it makes me squirm. But I remember back then it was a kind of, I don't know, like pleasant feeling.
And I think
weirdly pleasant.
Weirdly.
Yeah.
It was
really proud of losing a tooth, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Something really cool and special.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, no, I didn't touch my wiggly teeth. I just let them fall out on their own.
Back to your poem. I noticed that there is not a continuous rhyme scheme. And then I looked at it again and then I realized that actually it does rhyme.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but not all the time. In the beginning, I thought it didn't rhyme at all. And then I read it again and I was like, oh, it does rhyme. So I was thinking, was that intentional? Did you construct it that way?
It was intentional, yes. I recently started rhyming.
Oh, cool. Yeah, okay.
None of my other poems rhyme, except this one and the one I wrote at the picnic last week. I just wanted to try it out and play around with it. That's why there are different types of rhymes in there. So I did intend it to be read like it doesn't rhyme.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah.
So I totally fell into your trap.
Yes.
It's kind of, it's like a two-take thing. Also, I think it works better when you read it. I think the assonance worked really well in your reading. You said yesterday when you... No, was it yesterday? Anyway, it doesn't matter. When you sent me the poem, you said you did some last-minute editing.
Yes.
Would you care to point out where you did the editing? Because I'm quite interested in people's editing processes.
Sure. The things that I edited were mostly rhymes. Because some of the stanzas didn't have rhymes at all. And I didn't want that. Because I wanted to have rhymes everywhere. I edited some, like the unsheath and underwear, although it's not really a rhyme. Then the unloved and shoved. That's this thing I edited as well. Yeah, just somewhere could throw them in. I threw some rhymes in last minute, so yeah.
So there's no bigger parts of the poem that you crossed out or edited?
No, not really.
Okay.
Do you usually edit your poems a lot?
No.
Okay,
I just
cool. I like
leave them untouched. Like, okay, I fucked up, fine, leave it. Nah.
Okay. Cool. And do you write them in one go? Like, does something inspire you when you sit down and you write and the poem is there on the page?
Yeah, mostly. Okay. Sometimes when I have a general idea, a more general idea about what I want to write, I split it up into more sessions.
Okay.
But usually it's one go. So, yeah.
Cool. And I was also wondering if the length of the stanzas was intended, because I realized that they vary in length. Some have 4 lines, some have 5, some have 6.
Yeah, I was a bit too occupied with the rhymes. I did not pay attention to the stanza lines length.
The general topic of your poem, kind of like growing up, is that something that's been on your mind a lot? Have you been writing about that a lot?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I am growing up. I'm turning 21.
We all are.
So, yeah. And I had a bit of a midlife crisis when I turned 20.
Quarter life, I have.
Quarter life.
Less even.
I don't know.
We'll see. A life crisis.
A life crisis, yes.
Just ongoing crisis.
An ongoing crisis, yes. Growing up has just been on my mind a lot. And also my wisdom teeth, who are annoying me. So, yeah.
I really like that you make that juxtaposition really apparent between the fact that you are supposed to be wise by the time you get your wisdom teeth, but might not really feel like you have grown up yet.
Yeah.
Because I've always wondered why they were called wisdom teeth, because people get them at such different ages. I know people who got them when they were 15. I got them, like, I think 3 years ago or something, when they started to grow. So
it sounds like very much like a story parents tell to their children when the children are like, "Mommy, daddy, what's going on?" Or whatever children say.
I hope they don't sound like that anymore when they're 16 or 20.
Yeah. "Mommy, daddy, what's going on?"
That's more realistic, yes. They all sound like Smaug.
Yes.
Oh, imagine. I mean, what a great world that would be.
16-year-olds basically are Smaug.
Yeah, some of them, I guess.
They have a very messy room. They don't like people coming into their rooms.
They like money.
Yes. Vengeful. They are very vengeful.
Not all.
Speak for yourself.
I've met a lot of very nice 16-year-olds.
Okay, okay.
I know mostly emo kids when they're 16, so very edgy and cool.
Also, I'm wondering, or I really like your definition of growing up, because I think everybody's growing up until they die. I don't think it ever stops. I don't think just because you turn 18, dang, you're finally an adult. So I also think the word wise or wisdom, they are such weird terms because everybody understands something different under that. And I was wondering, what is wisdom or being wise for you?
I don't really know. I guess you know it when you see it. I guess they're just different kinds of wisdom and being wise. Like, some people are just really wise in the way that they treat other people. That's really a cool thing. There are people who are just book smart to no ends, and it's fascinating. I just think that different types and everything is kind of cool in its own way.
So everyone is wise in their own way.
Yeah, mostly. Not everyone.
Some people.
I wonder where the word wise comes from, whether it has anything to do with German white. So that when your hair turns white, you are
wise. I think it does.
Wise.
Probably. I actually think I had that before somewhere.
Yeah.
Would make sense.
Yeah.
So still have some time. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Of course. Well, I have blonde hair, so you won't see it.
True. Do you have recurring themes or topics that you write about apart from growing up?
Yes. I had a phase, I guess, where I wrote about flowers a lot.
Oh.
Then there was a phase where pretty much every poem featured the word honey in some way. Yeah. Don't know
Do
why.
Do you like honey?
Sometimes. When I'm sick, I like it. And in lemon tea. But otherwise, meh. I guess self-love is also a reoccurring theme. But only recently. Like, back in the old times, when I was a 16-year-old girl, my poems were deep and dark, full of heartbreak. Other than that, I guess growing up is kind of like the theme that I have going on right now.
What does that mean, growing up? I really don't know. I mean, when is a person grown up?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
You're asking the big questions today, aren't you?
Yeah, kind of.
What does any of it mean?
Like, I'm a question machine.
Oh, God.
Do you ever go back and read those poems? From
the past.
I had to, yes, because I was organizing my poem collection.
Ooh, that's
cool. I've been meaning to do that for ages.
Yes.
How did you go about it?
Selena told me that she did it and that she made Florentino do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can so imagine that in my head, like, sitting there saying,
yeah, I think it was James's birthday party or something. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what? It's chaos. It's pure and utter chaos. I need to change it. It's, yeah, so I sat down for 2 hours
mm-hmm.
and, yeah, organized my poem collection.
Did you do that on the computer or did you print them out and then put them into a folder and really put them?
I just did it on the computer.
Okay.
Because there were so many bad mm-hmm. ones, I didn't want to print them out.
Do you ever delete poems?
I think I did, yeah. Okay. But I generally try to keep them.
Cool.
Just, you know, for shits and giggles. Later
and have you ever thought of publishing them?
I don't think I'm good enough yet.
Okay.
So we'll see. Maybe in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel doing the editing? For me, it's always like very much like, I don't know, I don't like it. I've tried a couple of times organizing my archive, but I always don't get very far because I don't know, I kind of get lost in the poems and like they give me, reading all poems gives me such a weird feeling.
Yeah. I don't know, I mostly put them in a specific order
mm-hmm.
just to have like an overview, and also most of my poems didn't have a title.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave most of them a title.
That's mm-hmm. cool.
Really weird ones. Mm-hmm. Really, really weird ones. Yeah, I guess editing poems is hard.
It is. It's really hard.
I tend to get lost as well. So
mm-hmm.
Also, I think starting out, one doesn't realize how much time these things take.
Mm.
Also, whenever, I haven't done it in a while, but whenever I've decided to send a story in to a competition or something, or like even a publishing house, it took me 5 hours sometimes to just figure out, okay, these people want it 5 times. These people want it 3 times. These people want it once. These people want it via mail. These people want it via electronic mail. And these people want me to send it there. And then I have to put a cover letter in there and a biography and that.
Oh,
and
God.
That alone is so daunting that you never actually get down to do it. And that's why I barely ever do that. But sometimes when I have good days, I'm like, okay, let's do this.
But in order to send your poems in to be published, it would be good to have them organized and know which ones are the good ones. But then again, how do I know which ones are good if I'm so caught up in my own feelings about them?
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking of maybe sitting together with somebody else and going over them. And every time I'm like, oh my God, this is all shit. I can't write. That they tell me, hopefully, honestly, whether it's actually shit or...
That sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah. Because sometimes you have a special relationship with a specific poem and it's actually shit, but you won't admit it to yourself
because
you like it
and
you're proud of it. So
I think for me it's mostly the other way around.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, same.
I'm sure there are some where it's like this, but I think the majority of them are actually not too bad or fairly good, but I'm just so caught up in the subject matter, mostly in disliking myself at the point of writing. Do you have any questions you would like to ask us, or you would like to be asked yourself? This is the time.
No, not really.
Anything you'd like to tell the listeners?
No. It was very nice to be here.
Okay.
Thank you for being here.
Wait a second. We can't let you go yet.
Oh, God.
Do you have any presence on the internet that you would like to share? Can people find your work anywhere?
My work, no. But if someone wants to look at pictures of my dog and my cats...
Always.
I have an Instagram account.
Would you care to share that?
It's called... Oh, God. It's an embarrassing name. I was young, okay? Rikachu, like in Pikachu and Ricardo.
Love it.
Yeah. That's actually quite cool.
Yeah, thank you. Made it up myself.
How about you?
Nothing has changed. I know I should get back on with my blog, but I haven't gotten the time or the mindset to write at all in general.
Wait, I have a Tumblr blog where I actually want to upload my poems because I made it specifically for my poems.
Cool.
I'll put it in the description. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Leo Engelmeier. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter at PodUniverse.
And Universe, I guess, you can also follow on Twitter. Or just the podcast? Or,
like, just the podcast has a Twitter. Universe doesn't. But I kind of also do... well, not really. But I suppose I could always also do Universe stuff on Twitter. And also now you can follow us on Instagram, which is also done by me. I just have to look up what it's called, because I forget. I shouldn't, because I spend a lot of time looking at it, but I still forget. It is called uni.verse_creativewriting. This was episode 30 of the Universe podcast. If you enjoyed it and would like to hear more of us, make sure to subscribe to the Universe podcast wherever you're listening to it. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review to tell us what you think and help other people find the podcast. And tell all your friends about it. Comments? Questions? You can reach us on Twitter, we're at PodUniverse, on Facebook, or on our email address, podcast@universe.univ.org. And now I guess also on our Instagram, forgot to add that, uni.verse_creativewriting. Yes, I remembered. This podcast was edited and hosted by Leonhard Engelmeier. The co-host was Charlotte Zerz. Our guest on this episode was Ricarda Rammer. I hope you visit this planet and the universe again. In the meantime, stay safe in space. Thanks for listening.